Good early morning, church. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. As we continue our study through the book of Matthew, verse by verse. Last Sunday, we approached the first of two parables that Jesus tells. And these are called the warning parables. We're still on the Mount of Olives. We're still there. Jesus still talking to his disciples, still telling about his second coming. So he's warning the people there, these disciples, to be ready about his second coming, to know that he is coming and for us to all be ready. Last week he was telling about those 10 virgins, those 10 bridesmaids. Only 5 were ready for the bridegroom to return. He's talking about the local church. And today he continues to study about the master going away and coming back. And he's leaving gifts and talents there for his slaves to invest for him. But he's saying, I'm going away for a while, but I'm coming back. Warning the church, listen, I'm coming when you least expect it, but I'm coming back. So today we take another look at revealing counterfeit faith. Revealing counterfeit faith. Matthew 25, verse 14 through 30. I'm at that age where you have to have an extra pair of eyes to see everything real close. We begin reading the words of Christ in verse 14. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had received the 1 talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter, where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. He kind of says that with a little sarcasm there. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take the talent away from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Threw out that worthless slave into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's pray together. Father God, we approach this this parable, seeing it sounds very simple on the top, on the surface, but Lord, your word is so strong. Your warning is so strong to us as the local church to be found in the faith. God, may we not be thinking about anything else but our own life, reflecting over our condition with you. Lord, help us through all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. So on the surface, this is a very simple parable. It seems that way. So we have a wealthy man and who entrusted some of his riches to his slaves. The talents here is not the ability, but rather a measure of gold and silver or bronze. A talent is a weight of money. So in this parable, Jesus does not give us any detail of the type of talent that that was trusted to men. It is likely, though, that it was either gold or silver, that it was a wealthy man. So to these slaves, it's a large amount of money, if you think about it. Yet the master, it was probably a small amount of money. So in their common culture there, five talents was a significant amount. It equaled to an amount of about 80 to 100 years worth of salary for the common worker. 80 to 100 years. So get your salary, multiply it by 80 to 120, and that's about the amount of money you would have to invest for someone else. That's a large sum of money entrusted to these men. And we understand that the master calls us a few things there in verse 21. So that really does speak of the extraordinary wealth of the master. So we begin to see that the master is Christ Jesus. And he's wealthy. And he's going away and he's left in charge of the church many things. And how we use those talents, those abilities, those gifts, those special things that he has given to us to use for ministry, how we use that to honor God reflects if we have God in our heart at all. So here we are, verse 14 through verse 18. For it is just like a man about to go away on a journey who called his own slaves and trusted his possessions to them. So we have a picture here of the visible church. That the master is Jesus. The slaves are those who claim the name of Jesus. Now listen, not everyone who claims the name of Jesus are saved people. There are a lot of people who call themselves Christians, and you can't find Christ anywhere around them. But you see, a lot of people who attend a Christian church, they all call themselves Christians. But we saw last week where half of those bridesmaids were not believers. They did not prepare. They did not have the Holy Spirit of God. So Jesus is warning those in the local church. So the master is Jesus. The slaves are those who claim the name of Jesus. And for all practical purposes, they all look like part of the church. You and I can't tell the difference. I don't know who's saved and who's not. I see what fruit people bear, if they bear any fruit at all. But I don't know what your relationship is like with Jesus, and you don't know what mine is like. And that's the picture that we're getting here, is that a person can go through all the routines, all the religious activities, and look the same, sing the same songs, but they're lost sitting right next to a person who is saved. This is what he's bringing out. That's the point he's trying to make to us. And he's beginning to show us through these three slaves that fruit reveal whether a person is in the faith or not. Verse 15, to the one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, and to another he gave 1. Get this, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Now we understand something here, church. Don't ever be jealous about someone else's abilities or what they have. Whether they have great resources and you have small. Whether they have great talent and you have few. To all has been given a talent. But don't be jealous of what someone else has. God gives according to their ability. There are preachers far better than me. I don't need to worry about it. This is where God put me. This is what God gave me. This is what I need to be a good steward of. Right here. What God has given you, you be a good steward of that. Notice the talents were not distributed to the slaves equally. The master knew his slaves and gave them according to what they could handle and to be productive. It's not to say they're going to be productive, but he knows that they can be productive with this. So God sees through this outer appearance right to the heart and to the character of an individual. So the master gave according to each slave's ability. Yeah, we're all wired a little different. All of us. God knows that. And he's equipped us and gifted us because of our abilities and through our abilities. Understand, God doesn't approach things as Marxism or socialism at all. This is not politically correct as in today with the hot buttons or equality and equity. That's not the way God works. The same input and guarantee of the same outcome is not always there. So the master gave according to the slave's ability. Verse 16, immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went out and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had the 2 talents gained 2 more talents. We see the first 2 slaves went to work immediately for their master. They had this. It was the master's gift. It was there. It was to them. And they had this amount of money, this amount of talent to work with. And they went to work immediately for the master. Christian, what God has gifted you with, what have you done for the master with it? Because the fruit of what you do reveals where your heart really is. Are you putting what God has given you to work for God? Are you putting it to work for God? So these first 2 slaves went to work immediately, investing in master's money in precise ways that reap great gain for the master's benefit. Not for the person's benefit. Indeed, these first 2 slaves were obedient to the master, and they worked diligently to please their master. It's amazing how many people get burnt out and quit. When we're working for God, listen, we need to pace ourselves. There's time to work, there's time to play, and there's time to rest. There's time to work. That's just the rhythm of life. Man, when God has called us to do something, we are not to quit. We're to continue using the gift he has given to us to bring glory to the master. Verse 18. So these first 2 slaves went to work, working those 5 talents, working those 2 talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Are you hiding the talent that God has given you that you should be using for the kingdom? This 1 slave went away and hid his master's money. This one slave was disobedient, and he was fearful. He was afraid of the master. He didn't want to be bothered about being about the master's business while the master was away on a long journey. To this slave, it was troublesome to take on the responsibility of the master's money. Therefore, he demonstrated contempt toward the master and went and hid the one talent of money he has to invest. Oh, my goodness, this sounds like so many church folks. I really don't have time to be down at the church working. I really don't have time to go do that, Brother Kevin. My schedule's so busy, I just don't have time to do this. I don't have time to do that. I don't have time to do this and that. You know what? After a while, you just don't get called anymore because you don't have time, because you've taken your one talent and buried it. Well, that's kind of hard, Brother Kevin. The Word says it. I'm just put it into application of our own lives for 2024. You see, the disobedient slave who had only one talent to worry about didn't want to be bothered with that responsibility because he was fearful of the master. So his fear of the master led him just to go bury it so he wouldn't be responsible if he lost it. So he hid it away so nobody could see. A lot of times in ministry, we don't want to serve in our church. We don't want to serve the Lord because we're afraid what other people are going to say about us. We're afraid that we're going to mess up. We're afraid we're not going to get it right. You see me up here every Sunday, and I mess up. If you come on Wednesday nights, you'll see more mess ups. But you can't quit. Listen, when you're serving for God, serve. This slave had this wrong idea of who his master was. And there are a lot of Christians who have a wrong idea of who God is. There are a lot of people who claim to be Christians, but they don't take enough time to understand who God really is. So are they really believers or not? It's as if they don't even know the Father. Verse 19 says, now after a long time, the master of the slaves came and settled accounts with them. Let that be a warning to us. If we call ourselves a Christian in a local church, the master is coming back to settle accounts with us. Are you the one who's investing the five out into the world? You're investing so that more will come to Christ, that you minister in people's lives? Are you the Christian with the two talents? You're obedient to two. You're not jealous of the one with five. You're just busy about God's business with the two. You're investing in the world, bringing people to Christ, glorifying God wherever you can. Workplace, home, school, wherever. You're investing for the Lord. Or would it be said of you that you're the one with that one talent? You buried it so deep that no one even knows it. People don't even know you're a Christian. Outside that you show up for church occasionally. See, he's given us. He says, I'm coming back. The master's going away for a long time. It's been 2,000 years. That's a little while. But he says, I'm coming back, and there's a day of reckoning. So the master has returned, and each of these slaves are now personally giving account of what they did with the master's money. Hey, don't worry about me. I've got to stand before Jesus myself. You worry about you. There's so much in church life. Listen, I'm 56 years old. I grew up in church. I've heard so many people downgrade other people in the church. Probably kind of snuffing their candle that they don't want to work for church because everybody's going to criticize. Anytime you try to take it, you're going to be a leader in a church, people will try to chop your head off. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about it because you're not working for them. You're working for the Lord. How often people are so worried about what someone else is doing or not doing rather than what they are doing. See, if you are busy about God's work, you won't have time to worry about what somebody else is not doing. You'll be focused upon what God has for you to do because you are held personally responsible for it. You are the one that's held accountable. When Christ comes back, he's looking at you. He's not looking at me for you. He's not looking at you for me. He's not going to ask Joey, why'd Brother Kevin do this or didn't do that? He's going to ask Kevin West that. He says, there's a day coming. Verse 20 says this. So one who had received 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See how I've gained 5 more talents. Verse 21, his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. See, it's just a few things to God. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Verse 22, also the one who had received 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Notice something here. The one with the 5 talents and the one with the 2 talents both pleased the master. They both pleased the master because they were investing his money according to their ability. Even though the initial talents that were distributed were not the same, what they invested for the master's benefit landed them in the joy of the master. The master told them the exact same wonderful, sweet words. The same thing. Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter the joy of your master. That's the words we all long to hear. When the end of our time on earth comes. What beautiful words. Well done, good and faithful slave. They're equipped according to their ability, and yet they were rewarded to enter into the joy of the master. They're wise and obedient and diligent stewards of the master's money. They were rewarded the same. Verse 21 and 23 says, enter into the joy of my master. Man, that's heaven. Yes, in this world, we can, this as we live this life, we can earn a crown of righteousness. We can earn several different crowns. But you know what we do with those crowns? We don't wear them around heaven, showing everybody what we did on earth. You know what we do with those crowns? We take those crowns and throw them at the feet of Jesus. There'll be no jealousy in heaven. However, the results were quite different for this third slave. that Jesus felt necessary to tell us about. Verse 24, and the one who also had received the one talent came up and said, now he could have invested it just like the other two. He said, Master, I know you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. This guy doesn't know his master. He doesn't know God. And there are a lot of people who are calling themselves Christians do not know God. This guy doesn't know God. Matter of fact, he's even defaming the character of God. He's telling God that he's hard and unfair. He doesn't know the grace and the patience of God. And so God treats him as an unregenerate, rebellious man whose heart is only on self and self-preservation. That's how God treats him. Verse 26 says, but his master answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy slave. My. How many people sitting in a local church will hear those words? Because they call themselves Christian, but they don't know God. And since they don't really know God, they don't understand what God has invested for them, and so they just hide it. They don't let the Lord shine to the rest of the world. You're wicked because you've trashed my character. You're lazy because you did nothing. Nothing. The master's being a little sarcastic here in the next part of his reply, verse 26. Oh, so you know that I reap where I scatter no seeds, do you? Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away that talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. The spiritual principle here in verse 29 is that you better use it or you're going to lose it. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, verse 29, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Are we really talking about a false profession here? Yeah. Look at verse 30. But to keep it in context, the master says to this slave, or about this slave, throw out this worthless slave into the outer darkness, in that place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's the biblical description of hell. The biblical description of hell. This confirms a false profession. This slave looked like the other slaves. He even went through the motions of being and pretending to be a slave. He even called the master, master. Yet, the fruit of his life bore no evidence that he knew the master. How many people today who call themselves Christian bear no evidence that God exists in their life at all? I'm not saying a person of perfection. I'm just saying a person of possession of faith, not just a profession. See, people can say a lot of things with their words. People can say so much with words, but their actions prove where they really are. This slave, his words and his actions didn't match. How many people were saying, "Lord, Lord, didn't I go to church down at First Baptistville Platte? Yeah, I even listened. I even sat through those sermons that Brother Kevin preached. I sang along with the band. Doesn't that count for something?" No. If you don't know Jesus personally. And the evidence in your life, the fruit of your life, proves it. Are you in the faith or not? Because it will make a difference in your life and your eternity. How you live your life matters. So see, this third person represents a person who's in the visible local church, but he just doesn't know God. He doesn't know the character of God, the love of God, and he's burying this one talent in the ground. That represents how he feels about the gift that God has given him, and it feels about how he feels about the giver of that gift. He's in the church, hearing and receiving the same revelation of God's word as the other two. But even that little bit just gets buried. And then he accuses his master of being harsh and unfair. Have you ever accused God of being harsh and unfair? When things in your life didn't go the way that you thought they should go? When life seems to be unfair to you? And it is. Because we're living in a sin-cursed world, but it's not that God's unfair. These are the cries that want to just not take the time to pursue God, to get to know God. He's too busy. He's too busy claiming God is unfair and hard. This third servant, whose limited knowledge of the Word of God has led him to conclude that God is distant, unjust, uncaring, and undependable. This is the unregenerate church member who has no measure of spiritual fruit in his life because there's no spiritual worship in his heart. He has no Holy Spirit that's regenerated him. He's lost, but he's going through the same religious routines that everyone else does, and he thinks he's okay. But the fruit of his life proves differently. We can't skip over this stuff. We have to hear the hard stuff because we have to evaluate. We have to examine whether we're in the faith or not. It's the hardest thing as a pastor is to realize that most everybody think they're saved. They can live like hell all week long, show up at church and everything just fine. And the next week, live like they want to live too. Saturday night, they were in one place. Sunday morning, they're in church, looking all pious. Who are you fooling? You can fool me all day long, but you're not going to fool God. You see, this one slave who went and hid his talent, he probably put on a show for the other two like he was working that talent. They talk about how things were going. Oh, business is doing great, man. We're investing over here. We're doing this and that, this and that. The other two's like, yeah, we're doing some gains over here for the master. We're doing some gains over here. That one who spoke good Christianese too, he could talk the language, speak the language too, just like the other two slaves. That one who buried the talent, who was lost, You see, there are lost church members who speak very fluid Christianese. They know the words. They know what to do. They know when to stand up and sit down. But they're lost. Lost. God doesn't judge by our outward appearance. He judges by what's in our heart. He judges by what's going on in our soul. We're born again. He gives us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit seals us to the day of redemption. So the Lord looks at our very soul, and if there's no Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter how much religious stuff we do. We can impress everyone and be lost. And we get just enough religion to be inoculated from a relationship with Jesus. I'm talking to the Baptist here. If you're here from a different denomination, I'll pick on you too, but later. It's here. Listen, don't be messing around with your eternity. Don't be playing games with your eternity. So this guy buries what God has given him and turns to his own selfish life. In the church, listen, you know how you can begin to kind of see the fruit of some of these people who are really not born again? Listen, they're characterized because they are complaining and criticizing others. That begins to surface out. Conversations, maybe not at church, but away from church, at the restaurant or at somebody's house or somebody over here, is just complain, complain, complain. Complain about the preacher. I'm used to it. I complain about me all the time, too. Don't help. Complain about this one, what this one's doing in this area of ministry, and what that one's doing. Complaining because someone else is investing their talents, and they don't like the way it's being done. I wouldn't do it that way, but you're not doing it. Why? Because you're lost. So that's how you know them. This is reflective that when you have a problem horizontally, it's diametrically symbolic that you have a problem vertically. When you keep having problems with other people horizontally, it's just reflective of your problem that you have with God. Because when you are right with God, it seems that you can love your neighbor a whole lot easier. No, you don't have to accept their sin, but you can love them and you can minister to them. You can invest in pour God into their life at some point. Horizontal problems equal a dysfunction vertically between you and God. So a person can say all the right things, speak Christianese quite fluently, but you would know them by the love that they have for themselves and their disdain and distaste for others. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. A tree is known by its fruit. You hear me say this. A person walked the aisle, come crying and tears, and you sit down with the word and go through the word, and they get wet. And they come for a little while, and in 6 months or a year, you don't see them anymore. But see, as Baptists, we always throw in that little, oh, once saved, always saved. They're lost. They went through the church religious things, but there was no transformation in them. Do we need to come before? Yeah. Do we need to be baptized? Absolutely. Every person who calls on the name of Jesus needs to be baptized, because it's a command from Christ. But you see, Christ always also gives us that the word goes out, and there's four soils. There's on good soil, and there's rocky soil, and there's shallow soil. They may spring a root for a little while, but then the troubles of life comes like the sun burning down. They have no root, so they disappear. The seed of the word never took hold in their life. So what's some takeaways here real quickly? First of all, every servant received something. All three of them. What they received was according to their ability. God has given each of us a certain amount of talents, giftings, experiences, wisdom, understanding, opportunities, resources for us to bring into the world in order that we may expand the influence of our Master, Jesus Christ, in the world. Verse 16 says, he went out and traded them. That word traded in the Greek is ergazomai. Means labored for, work with, engaged for gain. In other words, you have to work it. You have to work it. You have to work that talent. These slaves worked the master's money in the world and made more money. And these two slaves didn't bury it. They brought back a return profit for the master. You see, our goal is not just to live a life, a holy life, but it's also, as we are walking the narrow path, is to bring others along with us, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ so they'll come along on the narrow way too. Listen, it doesn't matter what God has given you, how much he's given you. What matters is that you're faithful with what he has given you. You're rewarded for being faithful. You're not rewarded by how much you've been given. It's how faithful are you with it. So the point of this sermon that Jesus is bringing out, that he's coming back and there's a day of reckoning coming where the master will be settling accounts, and we all must be ready. Two parables. Both revealing false professions, and each giving two different approaches to the second coming of Christ, but each of them ending in the very same place. Those 10 bridesmaids, only 5 were let in. The other 5 were out by trying to buy all, and they come knocking on the door, wanting the master to let them in. And he says, go away, I don't know who you are. Here, he comes to settle account with this one slave that had buried the gift. And it revealed his false profession. He says, take him out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Those 5 bridesmaids represent those who look like the church, but they were not. That one slave represents that person who looked like the church, but were not. Man, what are you doing with your life? It matters, and it matters forever. May we judge ourselves today. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31, English Standard Version says, but if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. Today is the day that we look at our own life, reflect on our own life. Am I in the faith? And if I'm in the faith, what am I doing with what God has given me to do? What am I doing with the talents that God has given me? All the things that God has blessed me with in my life,
Even those most difficult decisions or those difficult, rough paths I've been down, man, God has given that to you to grow you to a place so that you can now invest in others. Are you in Christ Jesus today? Examine yourself. And listen, if you don't like what you see, man, we need to talk. Cry out to Christ to save you. Believe upon Him today. Don't put off to next week or when a better time. Today is the day of salvation. Let's pray together. Father God, today Your Word reveals so much. So much to us, God, that we often don't think about that there may be people around us, even in the that we go to church with, that do not know You. We see them Sunday in, Sunday out. We may see them on Wednesdays even. But God, they have no relationship with Jesus Christ at all. Father, I pray today that they come to You in faith and repentance. God, if there's believers here today who, Lord, they are saved, they are born again, but God, they have just gotten tired from the struggle. God, give them rest so they can get back. Get back and on board and invest for You and Your kingdom. And God, maybe there's some who are just don't know what to do with their talent, their ability. God, give them direction. Lord, because it's all investment for the kingdom. God, have Your way in our hearts today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Let's